Let's go to Luke 5 and 9 this morning. I'm going to try to rip through this as quick as I can, but yet not go so fast you don't catch it this morning. Luke 5 and 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Speaking of Peter and all these disciples. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Then the book of Philemon 1 and 17, Paul writes a very brief letter to this man. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him of myself. I want to talk about partners in ministry. Partners in ministry. Lord, I come before you today. I ask you, Lord, to open up our, not just our eyes and our ears, but our will. For we can see things and hear things and still rebel against it. But if our will is there, then we'll find a way. For where there is a will, there is a way. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to find our will for you and your will, and there will be a way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. Partners, partners, partners in ministry. Partners should be someone who never intends on parting. A partner is someone who never intends on parting. And when I say partner, I'm not talking about dissolving some business. I'm talking about lifelong partners of any sort. And before you choose a partner in life, you should choose someone you believe that will never part. Someone that will never leave you, never forsake you. Jesus said, I'll be your partner. I'll never leave you and forsake you. There's two different things. I can leave you and come back, but forsaking you means I'm not coming back. And so I want partners in ministry that's there for the pain and the gain, for the suffering and the glory, for better or for worse, until death do us part. At any time you choose a partner, whether it be a mate, a hunting buddy, a fishing buddy, whatever it is, you should always pick someone that compliments you and not criticizes you. Partners do not get along if there's much criticism, especially in a constructive way. But if they compliment you, and I don't mean necessarily pat you on the back, but they compliment you in that where I'm weak, you're strong. And where I'm strong, you may be weak, but we compliment each other. So that it becomes better, because where I am a little bit shaky on, you're solid on. And we work together for a common purpose. I wonder who you would choose this morning. If I said, we're going out door knocking Saturday, choose you a partner. Who would you choose this morning to be your partner, to go door knocking? You need prayer, and you can only call one person in the church to be your prayer partner. Would it be you? Would they call you? Would you get all the phone calls? Who would you choose to say, I'm going to partner with you, because I know when I hang up the phone, you're going to be praying with me. You're going to be fasting with me until we get an answer from God. I am your partner. Who would you choose? Who would you choose to be a partner in ministry? Who would you choose to be a partner in life? And most of the time, what we usually would choose would be someone who could carry us. That's right. Unfortunately, what happens is we would choose someone. For example, I'm going to be on a basketball team. I'm going to choose my team. You think I'm going to choose people my size? Come on. I'm going to choose people who are dominant over me. I'm going to choose people who can carry me, because I can't play very good. And most of the time we choose someone who can carry us, and we're most likely choose people who will not only compliment us, but brag on us too. But what we need in a partnership is not words of adoration. What we need is words sometimes of admonition, things to build us up, warnings and things like this. I wouldn't do that, and here's why. But we need the support of each other. The last person that you would want to partner with, my brothers and sisters, is someone who would leave you. That's the last person that if you show me a quitter, they'll never be my partner. You show me somebody that starts and doesn't finish, they'll never be my partner. I will never call them. Because I am afraid that once we get into the strife and once we get into the thick of things, once trouble starts, you'll be gone. I don't want you as my partner. I think Kenny Rogers wrote it right, did he not? You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Got 4 kids and the crops in the field, and you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Right when I needed you the most, you packed up and chased somebody else. And whether you understand it or not, today all Christians are all in the ministry to some degree. It doesn't always have to be a pulpit ministry like I have this morning and other forms of ministry, but there's so many forms of ministry that you and I'm not saying, oh, pick your ministry. I'm just saying be a servant to the world. Be a servant to each other. Minister is administration. That's what it is. Ministry is administration, where you administer things to somebody else. And I wonder this morning, if you choose your partner in ministry, who would it be? Who could you count on? It's worth noting that when Jesus called his disciples, and we look at our text this morning, when he calls his disciples, he later will call them apostles, meaning being sent of God. I don't want to send people out to do my work if they're going to quit me and they don't show up. And I think they're doing the job and they're not even there on the job. And so Jesus looks at these men. Watch closely. They're already partners. Simon and Andrew, James and John. He passes by. He sees that in life they get along. He sees they're working together for a common cause. One may own the boat and the other one pays the gas. I don't know. One had the sail. I'll wash the net. You drag the net. Let's work together. And they were partners. And as Christ passed by, he saw the partnership, if you will, of Simon and of Andrew. He saw the partnership of James and John and how they worked with their father. And one was mending nets and another one was washing the net. And he saw partnerships. He said, I can use that. If you can work together as brothers all these years, then you've got to be pretty tight. I had a man, real quick, I'm going to chase this rabbit. It won't last long. A man doing my yard. And his brother came to work for him. And he's going to put his brother over my yard. And it wasn't long. His brother was trying to change everything. His brother was doing how everything from how he builds me to what he does and all this kind of stuff. And before long, I noticed that brother was gone. I said, what happened to your brother? He said, oh, man, we had to part ways. Couldn't work together. Couldn't work together with his own brother. Jesus was looking at brothers that not only were partnered between the two of them, but all 4 of them. Right? All 4 of them. And so on the day of the great catch, when they had so many fish in Simon Peter's net that it would break, and he said, hey, James, John, over here. The Bible says he called for the other partners that none would be lost. I wonder how many we lose, Brother Manuel, because we don't call out another partner. How many do we lose because we're too, well, it's mine, it's my fish. And we won't call on another partner, another church, another brother, another minister because it's mine. When they had brought all the fish to the land, they laid them down before Jesus. And as you know the story, Peter said, I'm a wicked man, depart from me. But Jesus told them, fear not, from henceforth thou, 1, 2, 3, 4, thou shalt catch men. Still partners, still fishing. Hallelujah, different kind of fish, but we're going to keep fishing for a different purpose. But I'm going to take your partnership that you already have and I'm going to move it into the spirit, if you will, to help save men rather than fish so that none will be lost. Wow. So that none will be lost. The importance of partnering in ministry cannot be stressed enough. How? Hallelujah. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Agreed. If you look up the definition of agreed, it means the absence of greed. Agreed. The absence of greed. How can two walk together and one be greedy? They can't. They can't. They must be agreed. We work together. We work as one. They must be agreed. Partners do not undermine each other and cut each other and criticize each other. They support each other and compliment each other. Why? For the sake of the partnership. Because if your partner's and one goes down, you're going to go down too. After Jesus had called his partners to help him in ministry, they remained somewhat confused about the purpose of Christ and this kingdom that he talked about. And Jesus began to explain his relationship with God as the Father, and they were confused. And so one of them said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And he said, Philip, how long have I been with you? And you say, shew me the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. This is my relationship with him. We're partners. He said, now watch close. He said, believest not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. It's not me, it's him that does the works. I'm the vessel. I'm the clay. He's the potter. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. He said, if you don't understand it, believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me so we can move forward with this thing. Believe me, I know you don't understand me, but I'm your partner. And just believe me because I know who I am and what I'm doing. Jesus spoke of the word's sake, meaning that let's move forward with this. And to move forward, we must move forward together. You can't move very far forward if you're not together. No. Because the Bible says that every house, not every other house or some houses, every house that is divided against itself is brought to desolation. A desolation is a place where nobody lives. Every house that's divided will be brought to desolation. Nobody benefits. Nobody wins. But if you learn to partner where two or three agree on any touching any one thing, there am I in the midst. You can ask what you will and it shall. If you ever learn that you need somebody other than yourself. I wonder, where are the partners in ministry? Where are the prayer partners that we used to have and calling each other? Hey, pray for me, brother. I'm going through something. Pray with me on it. Yes, sir. Hang up the phone. You both pray for an hour. Where are those days? Where are the people that say, I don't understand what you're going through. I don't need to know what you're going through, but I'll pray. Don't need the details, but I'll pray. All of Jesus' partners at first forsook all they had to follow him. And later they all forsook him. When did they forsake him? While he was turning water into wine or feeding the 5,000? No. They forsook him when the cross started showing up. The talk of the suffering, the talk of the pain, and the talk of being slain. And they, I don't know if I'm ready for that, Jesus. And so sometimes you get into things as partners and partnerships that you didn't expect. But if I'm your partner, till death do us part. One thing you can say about your pastor, when he's committed, he's committed. And so just as Jesus had prophesied that the shepherd was smitten and the sheep scattered, just as he had said, and the lies started. I don't know him. I never met that man before in my life. I don't know who he is. Well, that was one of them partners, wasn't it? Partner. Fine, partner. While just earlier you're cutting people's ears off and now you don't know me. You're going to defend me and now you don't know me. True partners will stay with you through tough times, good times, bad times, sorrow. It doesn't matter, joy, they're with you. But now that Jesus has been crucified and he has rose again, now they've all received the Holy Ghost and the joy was restored to the disciples, we're partners again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so they become partners. But now there's not 12, there's 11. Because one of them hung himself. And so they get Matthias to be the 12th one again. They restored it back to whole. And then you can read on in Acts chapter 2. And Peter standing with the 11. See, the partnership was restored. And Peter standing with the 11 said, "Men and brethren," you know, he began to talk to these people on the day of Pentecost. And these partners that were fishermen were now truly fishing for men like never before, that none should be lost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, as many as far off as the Lord our God shall call. Brothers, let's don't lose anybody. Let's call everybody. Let's say it's for everybody. Greek, Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, black, white, red, green. It doesn't matter. Short, fat, tall, ugly. It doesn't matter. Everybody's got a chance that none might be lost. You might recall that Jesus had already sent them out two by two. You remember that? Sent them out two by two. He sent them as partners to see how they would operate two at a time. And while all this was going on, I'm telling you a story this morning to get somewhere. While all of this was going on, a new partner arose, number 13. Who was it, everybody? Like Johnny Cash said, who was it, everybody? Number 13 showed up. Apostle number 13, Paul. The Apostle Paul, who was once named Saul Paul, but now he's Paul, who said, "I'm an apostle born out of season, but sent of God." Apostle Paul showed up, and guess what? They didn't pick him. What do you do when someone joins your group and you didn't pick them? You contest them. 12's what Jesus chose. We don't need another one, pal. Oh, it got heated. It got heated. You were that same guy that was killing us just a few days ago, and now you're going to preach to us? What do you do when someone wants to join the partnership and you didn't ask them? But he said, "The Lord has called me, brothers. Whether you called me or not, the same one that called you has called me. You got room for one more? Y'all go to the Jews, I'll go to the Gentiles, doesn't matter. But I'm called. I'm going to preach somewheres." So at first they didn't accept him because they didn't choose him. And I wonder if you can work with people you didn't choose. But if God chose them, you ought to be able to partner with them, right? Because we're working for the same kingdom, right? We're working for the same God, right? Then why do we act like this? Paul, chosen of God to be an apostle of the Gentiles, he rose up with power and with demonstration of the Holy Ghost. He rose up with authority, healing the sick and raising the lame, all kinds of things. And here were those 12 apostles waiting tables. More rice? Hey, more gravy, please. Would you like something to drink? Waiting tables. And here was Paul turning cities upside down. Getting the cities nervous, casting out devils and all kinds of things, and they were serving tables. This is making them look bad. Paul was a man who said it like it was. He didn't vacillate like Peter. One day he was one way, another day he was another way. "I'll die for you." "I don't know him." Not Paul. Oh, no, no. Paul wasn't like that. And he even had to talk to Peter about his prejudiced ways. I hope Peter got that right. I know he had the keys to the kingdom, but he sure was prejudiced. As we know, he didn't think that those of the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, could receive this, but he found out at Cornelius' house they could, and you would have thought that would have been enough. You would have thought, well, now he's going to lay that to rest. He's never going to be prejudiced anymore. No! Paul has to talk to him, to his face. That's what I like about Paul. Watch Galatians. I'm going to teach y'all something this morning. Galatians 2 and 11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him." Ooh, I think Antioch was the first place that they were called Christians, wasn't it? Right. He said, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain men came from James. Oh, James was fiery too. Just read his writings. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. See, he was okay sitting with them Gentiles till those of the circumcision showed up. Then he scooted over. And Paul said, I saw that. You ain't changed, old buddy. You hadn't changed. You're the same old Simon that the Lord called. And the other Jews, watch this, dissembled likewise with him. You're influencing other people too. They all got up off of that row and sat on the other side. Now watch this. Insomuch that Barnabas, who was Paul's partner? You're even affecting my partner. That Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. He also was confused about what should I do. I'm kind of torn, you know. I'm hearing what Paul's rebuking him, but yet I'm kind of like Peter. I believe better keep my mouth shut. And when James, Cephas, and John is John Mark, who seemed to be pillars. I like that. Didn't say they were pillars. They just seemed to be. Seemed to be pillars. Perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and to Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen. Yeah. And they unto the circumcision. Me and Barnabas, we're going to go to the heathen. I'll tell you what, I'd rather go to the heathen any day. I'd rather preach to the heathen any day than church folks that think they're stooped in tradition and culture and all this kind of stuff. Just give me some good old lost folks to preach to. You're going to go to the circumcision, me and Barnabas, we're going to go to the heathen. And so Barnabas was Paul's partner, and John was also known as John Mark. And guess what? He was Barnabas' cousin. He was Barnabas' cousin. Right. And so Paul would take a journey, and because he was the cousin of Barnabas, John Mark gets to go, the young kid, the one that could run faster than Peter to the grave. You know, he could go because he was kin to Barnabas. Seemed like Abraham took a guy kin to him too. Lot, right? Nephew, guess what happened there? Same thing. And so everything was fine as long as they were sailing, but they met persecution. And when they met some persecution, where's cuz? Cuz? John, Mark, where you at? He was gone. It's amazing how people show up missing when trouble starts. Watch this. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. They ordained them to go. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John Mark, to their minister, helper. Okay. And when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and at Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned, going home, boys, to Jerusalem. Nice being here, but it's a little too rough for me. And he leaves. He leaves the partnership. I wouldn't want John Mark. Would you call John Mark to be your partner next time? If you're going to take a journey, would you say, John Mark, come with me, be my partner? No, I'd be through with him. And so now Paul and Barnabas continue their journey, Acts 15 and 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, the partners, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's showing they've been through some stuff and they're still together preaching the gospel. Oh, you don't ever know who you can be partners with till you go through some stuff. We have sent therefore Judas, not Iscariot, and Silas. Anybody ever heard of Silas?
who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. Skipping down to verse 35. In other words, they'll also say Paul and Barnabas are good men. They're stable men. They've been through some stuff. We'll bless them too. Now watch verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again. Okay, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God, and see how they do. John Mark left us, but we made it. Let's go again. Let's make the circle again. And this time it's going to be better. This time it'll be different. And let's go visit these churches. Sounds like a fun trip this time. And Barnabas determined to take his cousin. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. No. That dude left us. Have you forgotten? But he's my cousin. Have you forgotten how he left us at Pamphylia? You out of your mind? Well, he's my cousin. Guess what? These partners are all of a sudden over somebody else. Where's the gospel in this? Back and forth over somebody who was a traitor. Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed, said, remember, departed from them at Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. He didn't even make it there. What are you talking about, take him? And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed. Oh, my God. Oh, who would have thought that Paul and Barnabas would have departed? Because they had been hazarded before the Lord. They had done risked their lives. And over John Mark, they're going to part ways. It was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And we don't hear anything he ever did. We don't hear of anything Barnabas and Mark ever did at Cyprus. End of story. And Paul, watch verse 40, chose Silas. Paul said, I'll take this man right here, and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. He's a good man. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. He kept his promise to these churches. Where's Barnabas? Oh, he's with John Mark, but I got Silas. Next place, where's Barnabas this time? Well, he went with John Mark, but I got Silas. And they accepted him at all these churches. And Paul chose Silas to partner with him. He made a good choice. Because I can't risk John Mark. And if you're going to side with John Mark, you can go too. I'll take Silas. It's a good thing. Because when they got to Macedonia, there was a jail cell waiting for them. When they got to Macedonia, John Mark would have never got there. And Barnabas would have been chasing John Mark. Hey, come back, come back, come back. And there Paul would have been alone with no partner. But he chose Silas. God knows what he's doing, my brothers and sisters. He let John Mark come between them to part them. And Paul said, I'll take him. So he was my partner in the journey. He was my partner at the church. He was my partner in the jail cell. And he's my partner in singing. And at midnight. It didn't say, and Paul was alone. At midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing songs and praises unto God. I don't sing real well with these chains on. It kind of hurts. But if you can get something going, Paul, I'll sing with you because I'm your partner. Oh, how I love Jesus. how I love Jesus. And they were two of them, a duet singing. And heaven started shaking the foundations of the jail cell. Sure glad I got a good partner in rough times. And the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. So old Barnabas was too worried about other things. But the prisoners heard Paul and Silas say, you better have the right partner when you get in trouble. Can you say amen? Paul would not let anything divide him from his partner. Whoo, my God. He said he'd come to the church of Corinth, and he had a partner called Apollos. And at the church of Corinth, one of them said, I'm of Apollos. And the other one, I'm of Paul. And they're squabbling, and a division started out over who's my minister, who's my preacher, who saved me, who's teaching me. I don't get nothing out of this, but oh, I like his teaching. I don't get nothing out of your guy, but oh, I love this one. And Paul began to rebuke them. Is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? One plants and the other one water. I have planted, Apollos have water, but God gives the increase, for we are one. We are one. We are one. I am Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos. He said, are you not carnal? For who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But partners in ministry, ministers of whom ye believed, even as unto the Lord. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Do you understand that? For he said, we are laborers together with God in God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Where are the partners today? Where are the partners today? I got to quickly close, but I'll close with this. Paul kept traveling through his journey, and he always had partners every place he went. Some say it's his eyesight, whatever, it doesn't matter. He needed a partner. And later in Paul's journey, he writes a brief letter to Philemon, little 24 verse or something like that, not very long, one chapter. He writes a chapter, and I read it to you, one of the verses. And he writes to him because this man had a runaway slave called Onesimus, someone who had left him. And he writes to Philemon. He said, excuse me, but let me read it real quick. It's right here. Verse 10. I beseech thee, O my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. See, I warn you while I was chained, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable unto thee and to me. I know he left you. I know he wasn't profitable. I know he ran away, but you know, that's my son in the Lord, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in bonds of the gospel. Verse 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. Don't treat him just like a servant, even though he was your servant, but treat him like a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in flesh and in the Lord? He's going to be profitable to you no matter how you look at it. If thou count me therefore a partner... If you count me as your partner, receive him as myself. I know he left you like John Mark left me. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put it on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. You owe me too. I've ministered to you too. Wow. Well, this doesn't sound right because he's telling Onesimus, he's telling Philemon, take Onesimus back, even though he left you. It was not Paul that was saying, I'm not taking John Mark. And now he said, oh, wait, he's of my own bowels. I'm the one that birthed him. He's my partner. Take him back. Well, the story's not over. Paul is now sitting, he's been sitting in a jail cell, and he writes his last letter to Timothy. The last chapter of Paul's life goes like this. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Not just me, but to everyone who loves his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Let me tell you, if you love this world, you'll never be my partner either. You can't have people loving this world and partner with you in ministry. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica. Cretans, he went to Galatia. And Titus, he went to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, John Mark, and bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Who? The guy you said don't take? Yes. He's learned his lesson. He's seen how what I did was right. And he has learned now his lesson. And now I can use in my dying days what the energy that this young man has. He's learned his lesson. Bring him to me. And I'll close with this. Most scholars, and most all scholars, believe that the book of Mark was written by John Mark. The one that Paul said, you can't come with us because you left us. It's amazing. My call today is to anyone who's left the gospel, backslidden, whatever it is. I'm telling you, come home. Hallelujah. You're still profitable to the ministry. You can take what you've learned and bring it to others. It's not over. Paul was dying. He was on his way out. He said, bring for me the paper. Bring for me parchment. But bring John Mark. Didn't call him the little traitor, the little guy that left me. Maybe Paul matured some too. But I'm here to tell you, no matter what happens between you and other people, just remember God has a purpose in it all. Can you clap your hands? Woo, I'm sorry, I went a little bit long. But I had to finish. God bless you. Take a quick break and we'll be right back for morning worship.